orchestral works of epic proportion dominate this year's MSU Symphony Series. Mighty Symphonies by Mahler, Beethoven, and Prokofiev will be featured on the stage of the Wharton Center as conductor Kevin Ngo leads his Michigan State musicians. WKER's Peter Worf spoke with Kevin Ngo in our studios about a few of the 2014-2015 concerts and the creation of a season lineup.
It's a daunting task to take the season, which sounds so endless. You know, it sounds like, oh, a whole season of classical repertoire for the orchestra. But then once you actually sit down and you start thinking about that, the total number of pieces that you wind up getting to program in a given season is maybe, even counting concertos, as maybe 16 pieces or 15 pieces total. And if you're trying to balance all the various needs and styles and things that you'd want people to be exposed to, that's tough stuff, right. You know? Especially when, for example, one of the pieces is the Mahler Third Symphony. Well, that's the whole program.
Right. An hour and a half, an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, if not the longest, really one of the very longest of the standard repertoire pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that eats up the whole night with right. with a gargantuan, well, gargantuan doesn't touch it, right? Awe-inspiring, titanic German symphony.
Right.
So I think it's trying to balance out a huge, broad range of needs, styles, and approaches for the various students in the orchestra. What is their growth rate? What can they really handle? What will get them really excited? That's huge, you know.
Let's shape this by beginning with the September concert and talk a little bit about, a little bit in the time that we have, about Prokofiev Symphony No. 5, one of the major pieces of the repertoire, a huge World War II era piece, a work that was composed in a very short amount of time that had a successful premiere. What do you want to share about it?
I think you covered the chief talking points there. You know, it's a piece that I first encountered, I believe in 1991 was the first time I heard it. I was living in London at the time and I attended a live performance of it. I think it might have been the BBC Symphony, I can't remember for sure. It made an incredible impression on me, you know. I remember not only being lost in the music, but lost in the energy of the thing. I found the energy just kind of relentless. I mean, the last movement is particularly that way. And then I immediately rushed out, like you did in those days, and bought two or three CDs at the local Tower Records in Piccadilly Circus, you know. And went home and just put it on. I was just obsessed with this thing, you know. Just thought this was the coolest music I'd ever heard. And I remember thinking that I'd never heard anything quite like it, and couldn't put my finger on why. What was it that made it so different? I didn't know that it was my first deep exposure to a Russian symphony, or I wasn't sure what it was. Interestingly enough, skipping forward many years, more years than I care to think about now, and now I'm studying this piece, and I've done some other Prokofiev, but interestingly enough, I've never conducted a symphony. I've studied the classical symphony, I've even rehearsed it a couple of times, but never performed it. So this is my first time with a Prokofiev symphony. It's been a fascinating study. I'm looking forward to feeling like at the end I know him, or maybe that I feel like I've just scratched the surface, you know? When I open up the score of Mozart now, I feel like, ah, I know this man. Wolfie, he's here, you know? Mm-hmm. But this is just every time I turn the page, I think, really?
That's Prokofiev's Fifth Symphony that'll be performed on the first concert, with Kevin Ngo conducting the MSU Symphony Orchestra, along with music of Jerry Hutcheson. Let's go on to November and another third, Beethoven's Third. I think you're working your way through the Beethoven and the Mahler symphonies over the course of the next few years.
Right, we're doing them simultaneously, right? So we did Beethoven 2 last year, yeah. And Mahler 2, and Beethoven 1 the year before that, Mahler 1. Right. And we managed to survive both of those, so we're on to number 3. We'll see what happens before we keel over, but yeah, we're doing the great Beethoven Eroica Symphony this year and greatly looking forward to it. Talk about another piece with titanic energy. The Eroica has amazing energy with, of course, less forces than Prokofiev uses. But Beethoven, you know, has always been a composer that for me is so lean, and it's all muscle and bone and grit. There's no flab, there's no extra, you know, there's no waste in the music. So he's the perfect guy to take a piece and turn it into really, really high energy with very small means, you know.
We'll hear that along with Duke Ellington's Harlem. That's a piece I've actually heard before, and really a beautiful symphony for jazz instruments and symphony orchestra.
We're going to have our MSU professors of jazz playing with us, and we're not entirely sure who all is going to be available. I don't know if you've ever worked with jazz guys, but you usually get the details about 5 minutes before you take the stage.
Right.
But the good news is they're always brilliant, yeah. You know? So, but Rodney Whitaker and I have been wanting to do something like this for quite a long time, and he recommended Duke's Harlem Suite, so we're going to do that, along with his piece called Bula, which apparently is his take on Bolero.
Oh.
And I don't know either of these yet. The score is supposed to arrive very, very soon. But Rodney's played both and knows them well. And I just can't tell you my level of admiration for Ellington. I have no doubt that every aspect of the orchestral parts and the voicing and everything else will be just as genius as the rest of his music. So,
Ludwig von Beethoven and Edward Kennedy Ellington coming up on November 21st.
That old standard pairing.
It's right. They both sound so good and sound good together.
Yeah, Ludwig von Ellington.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's conclude this conversation. There are more concerts later on in the year, but let's wrap things up with Mahler Third. As we said, coming around to the beginning of this conversation, one of the longest and sort of biggest pieces in the standard repertoire. Something like six movements, I think.
It's six movements. Yeah, it's 100 minutes.
Yeah, 100 minutes long.
I was already terrified, Peter, before you said this. Here I am looking at this blank score and thinking, how could I possibly learn such a thing? Now I'm definitely not going to do it. Do you want
to
do it?
No, you have to now.
I'll hand it to you.
You've
right
committed
here.
To all of them. So,
no.
So you can't stop now.
Once it's in print, then you have to go on the stage and do it. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. This particular symphony in the cycle is in the first five symphonies is by far the least known to me. And I am so excited to get to know it. I heard it performed maybe twice in my life, you know, because it's a titanic undertaking. You don't get to see, Mahler 3 is not on every weekend down at the old pop show or whatever.
Not so much.
And the impression that it made on me, actually, to be honest, the first time I heard it was I was just lost. I mean, I just was kind of lost and basking in this sort of circus of sounds, and I couldn't quite figure out what all of it meant, you know, or how I was supposed to track. What was the red thread that I could pull through? Now, maybe I was a less sophisticated listener. I just remember at the time I first heard it, I just remember it was too much for me. I couldn't kind of do it. Now, since that time, I've had almost no exposure to the Mahler Third Symphony, and part of that is because I know that I'm planning to do all nine of them, and so I like to kind of stay away so that when I open the score, it really feels like, oh, look at that, and I don't already have a built-in expectation of it.
I totally get what you're saying about that first hearing, and it's like, hearing a Wagner opera for the first time or some of the Mahler symphonies. You can't possibly hope to have any understanding.
The first time.
You just have to get clobbered by it like a big wave.
That's a great word. It's it. That's exactly it. That's the experience. It wasn't that I was in a circus. I was clobbered. That's perfect. I should have thought of that.
I like the circus analogy too. Kevin Noh conducting the MSU Symphony Orchestra in the upcoming season. We've talked about a few of the concerts and much more music. You should go hear the orchestra at the Wharton Center here at MSU. Kevin, thanks a lot.
Peter, always a pleasure.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.